Your Partner in Success Radio is a free business podcast with host Denise Griffiths. It's all about great stories, conversation, and context to help you move your business and life forward with actionable tips and advice from her guest experts. To listen and subscribe, just find us on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you consume your podcasts.
Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and today I welcome Chelsea Martin to the show. Now, Chelsea is the co-owner of Nom's Bake Shop, which is an industry expert in the art of convenient corporate gifting, and it leaves a lasting impression, and I'm going to tell you why in just a minute. So as business owners, we are always, always looking for a memorable gift for our clients, our holidays, or in my case, for my terrific podcast guest, as well as friends and clients. And in the noisy world of gift giving, Nom's Bake Shop makes you the hero, seriously, providing the solution to gifting by cutting through the clutter and delivering a premium twist on traditional baked goods in a highly, highly personalized way. And it's really easy to order. Now, Chelsea and the Nom's team specialize in making sure that you and your company make a lasting impression on past, current, and future clients with premium customizable packaging and delicious cookies that will actually be enjoyed. And listen, I can attest to that. I have the most wonderfully thoughtful personalized wooden box full of cookies on my desk as we speak. I've posted pictures of it all over the place. Just go find me on the internet and you'll see this box. It's got my logo on it. It's fabulous. And it's a keepsake. The cookies are not going to last forever, obviously. The box will. Chelsea, welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. It's good to have you here.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. That might have been the best intro I think I've ever received. So that was very exciting. Thank you.
Oh, you're kidding. Listen, when this thing landed on my doorstep, I think I sent you a voicemail. I was medium to moderately hysterical. I was so impressed. It's like, oh, my God. And listen, I'm not one of these people that waxes eloquent about most anything. I'm normally fairly sane. This box is so neat, and I'll have to describe it. It's a good-sized box. It's definitely something that you can use as a keepsake. It's on my desk right now. It still has cookies in it. But as soon as those cookies are done, they're shared, they're eaten, that box is actually going to hold my thank you cards, my stamps, you know, my list of people that I need to send thank yous to. It has a purpose. And this is what made me so excited. On the top of it is my logo, Denise Griffiths, Nerd and Stiletto. There's my heel. There's my cat Vicar as part of the heel. It's fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that makes me so happy to hear it, because I know that you kind of said, oh, I might have been, you know, pretty energetic on the phone. But honestly, for us, it is so exciting to hear that, because I think, and, you know, this is part of a deeper conversation in general, but I think when you do your job, you don't often necessarily hear much feedback. It's, you know, we kind of live in a world right now where, like, you hear the negative if something's wrong, but sometimes if you do what you're supposed to, you don't really necessarily always, you're not always on the receiving end of the positive feedback. So it's always really exciting for us to hear anything back, because we're not typically the actual gift giver in our situation. The customer is. And so we love hearing that. I mean, I have a couple of people in my life. For example, my husband and I go to the same guy at our car dealership when we go to get our maintenance and all of that. And we brought him a gift box that was personalized. And he just talks about how everybody at the dealership all wants one, because he keeps not cards, but he keeps, you know, car dealership related, like tags and things in it. And it's the same exact thing that you said. It just stays around, and it is really cool to either display or use as a catch-all or storage or things like that. And so we absolutely love hearing that kind of response, because ultimately that's really what we set out to do, is to leave an impression with our gifts and make them valuable to the recipient.
And it's a permanent impression. It really is, because this is on my desk. I live at my desk. I actually posted something on Facebook where I had bought brand new running shoes. They're difficult to get on. They just are. So I took them off and I put them on my desk. I ought to take a picture of it. They're sitting on some glass jars that I keep my pens and things in. Your box is off to the right. And here's my shoes. I couldn't find them for 2 days because I'm in here all the time. I had what we call banner blindness. I was looking for my shoes everywhere they were supposed to be, except to the left of my desk, the left on my desk. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, you got to be kidding me. There they are. Oh, it was really,
it's weird.
Really embarrassing.
I have that same thing when it comes to workout clothes. I just can't seem to find them, so I can never use them. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I got accused of, yeah, you'll just look, no, you're not going to use it. I will. I just need to remember where they are. So I actually took them to my foyer and put them on my little bench, so I'll have to put them on this time. But we talked, you and I talked. Oh, and I want to let people know you are actually in your car. And tell me why you're in your car and running errands right now, because I think it's important for people to know that when you're a business person, you do what it takes and you show up where you're supposed to. So share that if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty – every day is a new adventure, especially as a business owner, and that's something I'm learning because I didn't grow up always trying to build a business. Actually, this is, you know, my first rodeo with my husband and I, and we are a small business. And so, you know, you can schedule as much as you want, but every once in a while, and actually quite often, the universe is going to kind of throw new things your way to just see how you can pivot. And so, you know, we woke up and it's Monday morning and we're a very small business and three of our employees, my husband being one of them, are all out sick. And, you know, given the circumstances of what's going on, it's not what you think it is. Everybody's tested negative, but there are still illnesses going around, and it's leveled. You know, my husband, who is one of the predominant, captains of the sales and business development side of our company, along with our production designer who helps spearhead all the customization of our gifts, and our team lead of our fulfillment center who does all the shipping, which we have backups. Everything is going to be fine. We can still make everything happen, but it, you know, requires a little bit of a, you know, being nimble, I guess. And so, you know, as much as you plan it out and you plan to go and be in the office and be at your desk and have your coffee and, just get to sit and chat, you know, life changes your plans and you end up booking it down the freeway, trying to make it somewhere where it's a little bit quieter so that you can pull up in your car and jump on. So, you know, it keeps you on your toes for sure. And we'll be fine and everything, but it definitely, you just have to be a little bit flexible when it comes to this kind of world. And I'm sure a lot of people listening totally relate to that and understand that because they have their own challenges, whether that's family and children and what's going on and having to adjust schedules accordingly, or it's just the business itself and what kind of business model you have or how many employees you have and what's going on there. So always a fun experience.
That's the life of an entrepreneur, and prioritizing is something we all have to do quickly and on the fly. And that being said, I want to thank you for being here, because you could have easily said, Denise, I can't make it today. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, thank you for saying that. I mean, I think it is very easy. You know, life happens, and it is very easy to, especially in circumstances like this, it is understandable. But at the same time, I think especially now that I've been a business owner, but even before that, but as you just, you know, get older and have relationships with people, you start to understand the value of keeping plans. I think we've all been there where we want to break things because it would just relieve a little bit of the stress. But ultimately, it is more valuable to me, I think, to fulfill the things that you commit to. And I think everybody wants to do that even when it's tough, you know, and it's always a case by case. But I try as hard as I can to stick to the commitments, even in this crazy world right now.
Well, listen, I agree with you. He's been a podcast guest before, and he's a friend of mine, Larry Wingate. Most people have heard of him. He's written 6 New York Times bestsellers, and, you know, he's been all over TV. If you look for him online, you'll recognize him immediately. And he will just flat say, if you said you're going to do it, do it. And there's no room for misunderstanding. You know, but mm-hmm. so, you know, sometimes you just have to. Sometimes you have to say, I just can't today. And that's understandable.
Right.
But when you make a habit of it, as some people do, not a good idea.
Right.
So again, thank you for being here. So we had a terrific conversation, which led to my wonderful box on my desk that I'm so pleased with, because I always do a pre-interview with my guests. And I was asking you the history of NOMS, because it's a fairly new company and you've got a really terrific history. And then somehow, and to this moment, I don't know how we went from that to packaging, which led to this box landing here. And honestly, I remember when you were describing these to me, I was like, oh, and that reminded me of something that I already had from somebody else. And I just went, oh, okay. So you never know what's going to happen when you're having a conversation with somebody. So before I get too far in the weeds here, let's talk about the history of your company. Because like I said, it's a fairly new company. And I don't think it was meant to be a company, was it? It just kind of grew up and took off and you had to catch up with it.
Yeah, I think it's such an interesting thing because there's so many moving parts and we were all in different places and it all just kind of came together everything kind of aligned at the time it did to create a company that we didn't necessarily intend on being a company. And I think part of that was my husband, Trevor. He has two sisters, Allison and Andy. And when we were dating, I kind of got to know the family. And his father, Mike, is a retired computer programmer. So nothing to do with baking, but as a hobby, all growing up and everything like that, he used to bake cookies either in the home just to enjoy. But then, you know, there's only so many cookies there's only so many cookies you can eat. I don't know yet. I haven't tested that boundary yet I haven't found it yet. But at some point there's overflow. And so they end up baking them either for sporting events or giving them to the neighbors for the holidays or just things like that that are just meant to be a hobby in itself. And when I met Trevor and we started dating, he eventually came on a family vacation with my family. And just when it's all fresh and everything, his family sent a gift basket of cookies and like dessert bars, Rice Krispie treats and things like that, that his father had made just to kind of give us while we were going on this lake trip. And it was really, really sweet. But I think, and I always try to figure this out, what they must have been thinking, but my family's reaction was the same as mine, which was that everything was amazing. And that's the same reaction that Trevor and his sisters have gotten their whole life. They're just growing up and I believe they all played lacrosse and, you know, at those games, they would get their teammates asking about cookies or his dad would bring them and everybody loves them or the neighbors would ask about it for the holidays. So it just became very well known. And I think that they were pretty used to that reaction. And so because their baseline was set a little bit differently than everyone else's, that reaction doesn't really get the same. It's always impressive to hear that your cookies are delicious, but when somebody, you know, when somebody's really good at something, they share it with another person and the other person tends to say, you should sell this. You should do this. You should make a business out of this, whether that's, you know, crocheting or making jewelry or painting, you know, it's always, and that's meant to be a compliment. And so when my parents said that to Trevor about his dad, I think that was just normal. But at some point with his dad is a very social person. He loves talking to people and being out of the workforce. Like it was kind of a cool, natural hobby to maybe pick up and just sell at farmers markets and call centers in the valley. We live in the Phoenix Valley. So maybe selling in that area, just something very, very small. So Trevor got his dad kind of set up on that. He also worked with his sister Andy.
It was a hobby.
Totally a hobby.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The only reason we formed a business entity is because you needed a license in regards to actually selling the cookies. So when you're going to the farmer's market and you're going to a business to be like a vendor internally, you just needed an actual business entity like an LLC. And that's the only reason we formed one. And, you know, at the time my husband worked, I worked, and he started to kind of, he, my husband has always been an entrepreneur. Like, since I've met him, that has just, some people, you meet them and they're going to work for themselves. Like, they are meant to work for themselves. They're built that way. I wasn't necessarily built that way. I don't know which way I was built. I was like a perpetual college student where if you give me a list, I will finish that list. But I'm not sure if I was ready to make the list on my own or not. And so it's kind of funny because we're a little bit, we're the same in almost every aspect except for a little opposite in that. And so he started to see a possibility that they could maybe grow this in the valley. And he turned his attention to it with his father and then his sister, Andy, who started helping baking. The reception locally was so great that they really did start to ramp up production. They started to make, instead of just selling individual cookies, they started to make pre-orders for gift baskets for the holidays or Mother's Day or things like that in call centers. And then actually ended up renovating a second part of the home into another kitchen and just really growing within that space. And around that time when they started to kind of hit maybe their peak of, I guess, what they could do at in the kitchens, I started to join to help with marketing and branding and things like that, which is, you know, this was supposed to be a hobby. And now it's kind of grown into, we need a logo and we need a website and we need all these different things that we did not consider, you know, that was going to be included in said hobby. So my husband, as we outgrew the home, we ended up looking at a commercial kitchen space. And a lot of things happen when you get a commercial kitchen space, one of which means that the rules for baked goods change. You can now ship, as long as you're doing the proper protocol, you can now ship nationwide. Whereas before, when we were out of the home, we were pretty much confined to laws that restrict us from shipping. So that's really cool. It opened up this new market for us, which makes this possibly, you know, something that has the potential to keep growing. However, what that also means is we need to look at packaging. How are we going to ship something like this? And what is it? Why does it stand apart from anything else? You know, what makes us special? So I know that the sound's kind of all over the place, but I think it's because there were so many things that happened all at one time that kind of aligned. So while we were looking at baskets, essentially, that we could ship, that would arrive, with cookies that wouldn't look damaged or crumbly, or, you know, how can we create a presentation that was memorable and didn't seem like it was destroyed when it arrived, which doesn't leave a very good impression. While we were looking into that, we were also, it was around the holiday season and we were often seeing our parents. So we were going over to my parents' house too, and they're business owners, and they slowly every year start to accumulate gift baskets because it's the holidays. And, you know, when you're a business person and you have 40 people, 50 people, 60 people in your Rolodex to send gifts to, it's really hard to pick individual things. So you end up sending maybe a really nice gift basket. I still think that's a great thing to do. And I still think it's a nice gesture, but on the receiving end, if you're receiving 30 or 20 or, you know, 50 gift baskets from the same people, there's only so much like cheese and crackers or, you know, pretzels that you can eat.
sausage sticks, those are nasty. There's so
the
many
freeze-dried salmon is in there, I think. Yeah. It's, you know, and again, it's meant to be a gesture. It's meant to say, I'm thinking of you and, you know, congratulations on another successful year. Here's to a prosperous new year. Just a really, a nice gesture, but you can't eat it all. On the receiving end, it does become a little bit repetitive. So what happens is they collect on the shelf. You know, if you have kids, you let them kind of break into them and eat them, and that's that. And so because that was happening at the same time, we got to a point through our conversations where we thought, well, what if we don't send baskets? I mean, how do we stand out? Our cookies, for the most part, I don't want to start a war with freeze-dried salmon, but I believe that our cookies are more widely liked than maybe freeze-dried salmon. So we think that we've had a good product to offer. But how do we package it in a way that stands out, that still gives you the warm and fuzzies of somebody who was thinking of me, and they want to know, you know, they want to wish me well, or they want, how do we create that same impact and, but yet differentiate us from a gift basket, but yet we're in the same kind of market. And so we ended up through a series of, you know, looking, shopping experiences and discussions with people, we ended up landing on actual gift boxes. So not tins, not baskets, but two styles of premium slick gift boxes. So one of which is like a white full color print rigid gift box that has like a magnetic closure. It's got a beautiful print on the inside. And then the other is the one that I sent you, which is this premium wooden gift box with a slide top, kind of like a cigar style slide top box that has availability for etching on the top. And so what we decided to do was offer our customers this customization component where they can send these gift boxes just as easy as sending a gift basket with pears, but it will be personalized and it can ship anywhere nationwide. And you can put your logo on it. You can put their logo on it. You can put their logo and their name. Anything you want. We do everything in-house. We make it extra special, but we make it easy for you to send. And that's where it became our mission, to really develop beautiful packaging, because that is half of the impression that you're getting with that gift. And in a gifting market, it's very interesting. It's a different business model than a lot, where the person purchasing it isn't necessarily the person receiving it. So you kind of send it as a sender, you send the gift basket and you forget about it. And unless there's something, you know, flagrantly wrong with it, you usually don't hear anything but a thank you. But in this case, we wanted to stand out. We wanted that person who maybe is receiving 10 gift baskets to also get this gift box that has their name on it and cookies, which are all individually wrapped so they can share them with the team or they can share them at home. But it says, like, I went that extra mile. This was specifically for you. This was not a, you know, drag and drop of 46 different gifts that I had to send and you're just a name on here. Like, this was etched with your name on it. I specifically set out to create a gift to make you smile. And that's where we found our space in this gifting sphere. I think the majority of our clientele is B2B or corporate gifting. But we still, of course, if you want to order cookies for yourself or you want to order cookies for a family member, we do all of that. We do all the customization in-house. So it's not a 3-week or 2-week waiting period to get a gift box etched for you. It's a day. And those are things that are really important to us, because as business owners, we also know the importance of time and convenience. So it needs to be convenient to send. And also, if I want to send somebody a gift box that says, you know, it was so great meeting with you this week, I want it to be this week. I don't want it to be in 20 days.
Right.
So,
exactly.
So those things were the most important things. And as we've, that was a really long way of giving the history, but that's kind of how we grew into ourselves and figured out where we live in this gifting space. And that's kind of how NOM seemed to be. I don't know if I took a breath there.
No, but that's exactly what I wanted to pull out, because people need to understand the history, the stories, the humanness behind, you know, some of these brands. And, you know, they didn't just show up on an Excel spreadsheet and a plan. You know, there's a lot of humanness, if that's even a word, that goes behind these things. And by the way, your box is going with me to my veterinarian tomorrow. And I'm going to share
really?
It with you. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I love that. Thank you. I mean, it really does. It's such an interesting place to be, because we do hear really great things, and don't get me wrong, I don't mean that nobody shares any positivity, but, you know, if you were sending a gift to somebody, usually you would hear the feedback. They don't often contact the company to say, hey, that was a great gift. So whenever we do hear that, it really does reinforce, like, this is why we do what we do. Like, this is what we want. We wanted to make people smile and leave that kind of impression for our clients, on behalf of our clients. But of course, you know, for us to have built this thing that we did not, I could have never told you, you know, 5 or 6 years ago that I would be working with my husband and my sisters, you know, every day to build something out of thin air, essentially, to us, you know, that we didn't grow up with a past of confections and how to build a kitchen and how to build the process for shipping or how to laser. So whenever we hear that, it really does make it feel like this is why we're doing what we're doing.
It sounds like it was just this perfect storm. You know, y'all were in the right place at the right time, the right ideas. You had the cookies, which, by the way, are delicious. And I have to admit, I'm not a cookie, I'm not a sweets person. I had a couple of them. I'm not. And I shared that with you when you sent me the box. Like, thank you. The box was really my favorite thing about the cookies. But the cookies are beautiful. They're perfectly packaged. And like I said, I ate two of them. It took me a little bit. I would take little bites of it. The chocolate one, surprisingly enough, because I don't really like chocolate, but the double chocolate was wonderful. So go
figure. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
I'm not a
chocolate
person.
That double chocolate.
And I really enjoy.
Hey, well,
and you know why? Because
you and I would be really good. Sorry, I was going to say, you and I would be really good friends because I could eat all the chocolate for you. So I would take that off for you. No problem.
But when I got these, I thought, okay, those are beautiful. I have to try them. And what was pleasant for me is that they're not overly sweet because I really don't like sugar. It's just, I'm a super taster and sugar actually bothers me. So I was like, okay, you know, I'll take a little bite out of it. And if, you know, I can't eat it, I'll save it for my best friend the next time I see her. And I had a plan, you know, but I wanted, you know, I would take little bites. It took me a couple of days to eat both of these cookies because I'm not one of those people just crams it into my mouth and, you know, I want to kind of savor it and see if I actually don't throw it back up, which sounds terrible, but I really sugar does bother me. But the cookies are gorgeous. The packaging is wonderful. They show up. There's not a thin sight. The box, the packages is fantastic, which leads me to why people, let's talk about corporate gifting. Because, look, mm-hmm. we're all looking, it's the holidays. And, you know, I was on your website. You're not just about the holidays. You do a lot with real estate people. I think you work a lot with firefighters. I can't remember all, but, I mean, you've got something for everybody. So these can be corporate gifts. They can be family gifts. They can be, excuse me, just about anything. So what sets you apart from other corporate gift people? I mean, we've talked a bit about it. But is there anything in particular? I mean, you're always looking for, as far as I can tell on your website, you're always looking for groups of people that you can serve.
Right. And so, to your point, corporate gifting is where we just found ourselves thriving in regards to that customization component. But because we do everything in-house, you are correct. For anybody that likes gifts in general, whether that's, you know, we do send a lot of gifts to any first responders or healthcare workers because a lot of people tend to send gifts as a way to say thank you.
Sure.
We partner with Phoenix Children's to just provide cookies without the gift box to their carts for parents and friends of patients that are there all day. So we do our best to, you know, anybody that either likes cookies or likes gifts or, you know, once because we do everything in-house, it's not set specifically to businesses. But yes, we definitely have found because of that extra customization that naturally a lot of our clientele became businesses. And that ranges from professionals that are just independent professionals, like you said. So real estate professionals, mortgage, things like that, where they're really in a referral-based company, but it's also, every business is about having a relationship with your clients, period. But of course, if you're just on your own as like a real estate professional, just for example, it is extremely important that you stay top of mind with your clients because one, not all of them are constantly buying or selling homes. You know, that could be a once every few years thing. So it's a matter of how many, if they have friends that they can refer you to, or if they can just, if you're top of mind in the next 5 years when they go to make another transaction. But then also we, of course, partner with companies like software companies who do a lot of prospecting. And so they actually use gifting as a tool to get ahead of email marketing, or maybe cut through some of that noise with, you know, let's be honest, like especially right now when human interaction has been very limited, the email marketing box, you know, is pretty crazy. It's always been that way in the last, you know, several years, but it's just you open your inbox and it's just emoji after, you know, capitalizations and free this and click here and, you know, whatever types of things, that tricks that people can use to try to get your attention. And a lot of companies that do have that strategy for gifting in place or prospecting will use gifting to send something that lands on the desk of the person that they're trying to connect with, because it's not, you know, 100%, but I'd be hard pressed to believe that a lot of people wouldn't at all open the, you know, gift box and read this note, and it's got this personalized gift box with cookies that says, hey, you know, I would love to connect with you. You know, maybe in this case, a lot of people have been doing, instead of coffee shop meetings, they've been doing Zoom meetings. So we've had some people send our gifts and say, like, let's have cookies over Zoom or something like that. That's just kind of cute to get their attention and say, you know, hey, if I'm working this hard or putting this much into trying to connect with you, you know, hopefully that leaves an impression on the way that I even do business in general, like how hands-on and how much effort I put in to you as a client. And so I think it just leaves a really good impression, you know, assuming that you don't do any kind of crazy high pressure sales in your gift message. I think it warms people up. It opens them up to conversation, and that really helps. And I think what sets us apart is that, of course, the customization and the in-house and the quick turnaround. I mean, we have right now, the holidays are approaching, which is our busiest season. And if you gave us 200 gift boxes right now that all needed to be personalized, we could get them out the door in 2 days, maybe even, you know, fewer than that. We really aim to make everything as convenient for you and quick for you, not, you know, because that's ultimately, we're all super busy. So I think one of the things, of course, is that we do this all in-house. We have a designer. They can, even if you don't have what you want on paper and you're envisioning a design, we can come up with it for you. We can work with you and then design that. And then furthermore, we can do all of that in such a large quantity, very conveniently, so that you don't feel like it's such a chore to have to send this. Because that's ultimately, that's the other part. Why are you going to send a gift basket? Well, because I can add 46 of them to my cart and it's easy to check out. But if you make this just as easy, why, you know, there's no question that people want to keep something more personalized and more meaningful to them that speaks to, I shopped for you specifically. So I think those things set us apart. And then, of course, on the receiving end, that impression definitely sets us apart from our current clients, or some of our current competitors, which we do a lot of research. We definitely, you know, I'm sure our employees love it when we do quote unquote research, because it means a lot of cookies get delivered to us for sampling. But we do like to really research what a gift looks like when it arrives to you, because we have these gifts that, I mean, I know that you said you don't like cookies, but I'm sure you've received this at some point.
I don't hate them. It's just not something I would go shopping for, but these really are quite delicious. Again, because to my palate, they're not overly sweet.
Right, exactly. And I don't mean that like in any bad way. I just mean, I'm sure you've still received probably cookies in a tin before or things like that.
Yeah.
And we've done that. We've ordered them before and they've arrived to us. And I cannot describe it to you I would not show this video, but I have video evidence of we took them out and they were dust. The cookies were complete dust from the vibration of the truck or the heat or something. Where if I received it as a gift, I would normally, I don't think people, if it comes like a little bit, if something comes a little bit crumbly or something, I think you don't want to offend the sender. You don't want to say, hey, you know, thanks for your gift, but the cookies weren't good or something, you know, something like that. You don't want to offend the person that sent your gift. You just want to say thank you. But in that case, if I had been on the receiving end, I wouldn't have wanted my friend or colleague to have spent whatever $40 or $50 on something like that, because it was not only, it wasn't a good impression, it was one that got passed around the office of, oh my gosh, can you believe this is how that's arrived? And that is something that the sender, I don't think you usually think about. You just assume it's going to arrive the way that it shows on the website. And that's a really crucial part of the gift giving, because the whole point is to make the person's day. Or if you're prospecting, the whole point is to leave a positive impression. And unless you're on that receiving end, you don't actually know the quality of how it arrives. And we do so much testing, and we send our gifts, you know, to our very fortunate friends across the country that will receive cookies randomly with thermometers in them and say, you know, what does this look like? Send us pictures. You know, so it's just, I think we really do everything we can to make the presentation really beautiful on the receiving side and make it really convenient for the sender on the sending side.
And listen, the cookies are in perfect condition. I opened up that box and went, oh my goodness. And I started pulling them out because I wanted to see what kinds of cookies. I mean, I was intensely curious after I did my little happy dance in the foyer. I was really thrilled to get this box. And, you know, I looked at these cookies and I, you know, kind of, look, I'm like you, I want to see what's going on. I want to look at kind of behind the scenes, you know, what kind of care did they take? It was a gift, but that doesn't mean I'm not curious about the whole process.
Yeah.
And look, I'm going to tell the audience right now, these cookies were in perfect condition. They're very uniform. They're beautiful and they taste good. They really, really taste good. And I'm going to share them with my vet because I love my vet. You know, they deserve some cookies. So I'm going to let them take one each. There's five people in that office. You only get one cookie apiece.
You get one cookie.
That's right. And I'm watching you. But, you know, I'm going to take it over there. And, you know, if they ask why my name's on it, I'm going to refer them to you. I mean, it's just such a brilliant idea. They can use that box if, you know, on their glass top, you know, where you go log in, where you sign in and put their little dog treats in there. My dogs know there's dog treats in that little bowl.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm afraid they would grab the box and haul with it. But that leads me to my next question. We're talking about, you know, the customization. So you mentioned like 46 orders. So here's, I have two questions. I'll start with one. So if you have 46 people that you want to send an order to, how much trouble is it to imprint it with, like you did with me, Denise Griffiths, Nerd and Stilettos? How difficult is it to take that 46 orders and have each one customized individually?
So it's no trouble at all. I mean, for us, we don't do any minimums. We don't do any setup fees. So, you know, I think that is sometimes a fear, I think, because most companies that do customization say, okay, minimum order of 25, or if you're talking about pens, it's like minimum order of 1,000 pens or something. And because we have our customization, our laser etching machine and our printer in-house, we don't need to do that at all. We do everything right here, and you don't have to do any sort of setup fee for it. You don't have to do any minimums. The only thing that we would need from you is, of course, the art in regards to if you wanted your logo on all of them and you wanted the recipient name on them, you would just send us your logo and say, we want the recipient name on all of the below the logo on all of them. And we would just do that ourselves. We have some people that want... they want different logos on each. So we just need the direction from that person. So if they have 10 boxes and they want five of them to have one logo, five to have another, or all 10 to have different logos, we just need that information. But for us to actually do it, it's so easy. And we've done We've done so much. We've had people come to us and say, here's my logo, but can you please make it autumn themed or put happy holidays above it and maybe the year below it? And we just throw that into the computer. Our designer works on it, sends them a rendering, and if they approve it, then we go. It's not a problem for us at all to customize every single one differently, and they all cost the same out the door. We don't charge extra for changing up all of them.
And see, that's what people need to know. I had an email come through. It's like, okay, Denise, you're waxing eloquent about your box and how excited you are to have it. Here's my question. If it has your name on it and nothing else, how would I know 5 years down the road where I got that box? And I'm going to answer that for you. Yeah, you would. I mean, I'll see this box and I'll know instantly who sent that to me. I won't forget. So what do you think?
Yeah, I think you raise an excellent question. So we have a couple different schools of thought on this, and none of them are wrong, because we'll create whatever kind of gift box that you want. But some of the positives are, if you put your own logo on it and you're sending this gift around, you know, people are not throwing away a wooden box. They will repurpose it in some capacity, whether that's displays or for a catch-all, or storage of photos or dog treats even. They will reuse it. I believe the way that we stumbled upon this idea was through those wine. There's some wine boxes that have utilized wooden boxes as like an option for their packaging. And I had a colleague way back when that had one on his desk for 2 years, and he's like, I kept this for 2 years just because it's so cool, and I don't know what to do with it. But here it was 2 years on his desk, you know, and so it does stick around. And so I think a lot of people have that natural urge to put their own logo on it because they want the person to remember, like, I sent you this box. But there is something to be said about sending something that is very personal to the recipient. And I also believe that that recipient remembers who sent it because
exactly.
of that. So I think that you don't need to put your logo on it if you did something that was really beautiful and personal to them. We've had people send some of our recipients gift boxes where they did for example, real estate agents and architecture firms that we've worked with have done a sketch of the front of the house on the box. And it's very cool, very personal, and nothing else. That's it. It's just a sketch. Well, they know who sent that box because it's such a cool thing, and they're not going to get rid of it. It's their house. It's their home. It's a moment in their life, you know, that is an important milestone. So they remember who sent that because of the value behind it, the meaning and the thought. We do have the best of both worlds also. If somebody was like, I want to do something really personal, but I got to have my logo on it. Like, I want to have my logo still on it. We can etch on both sides of the lid. There's like a small additional fee of $5. Yeah.
Right. Because I just,
you can etch on the other side and just put all that messaging.
I don't know if you heard me slide my box open, but I just looked at the other side and went, oh, that's some valuable real estate. So
yes, absolutely.
So
we just charge a little bit of a fee that way that you can, you know, for the time and etching it and everything, but it allows you kind of to have the best of both worlds. And it also allows you, if you wanted to put a special message, and I love seeing what different things people have done because we have the capabilities of etching an actual photo on there. So sometimes people have put something very beautiful and professional on one side and then like a really funny photo on the other side, just as like a surprise or something to make them laugh, or, you know, something that maybe they don't necessarily want to display, or I don't know, but they wanted to give them both options and then they can display whichever side they like.
I'm still stuck on my veterinarian because I'm telling you, I think I made his boat note for the month last month, but I have pets. They cost money, but you know, when my Clotilde, my 14-year-old cat Clotilde, passed away quite unexpectedly in March, they sent me a lovely floral arrangement. But you know what I'm thinking? And I'm going to suggest this to him if he's interested in finding out more. But I would have rather, now that I have this wonderful box, I would have rather had the box of cookies with my pet's face on it.
Mm-hmm. I think that would be, we've done, this is a little bit different, but we have done pets for somebody's holiday gift. They sent out gifts to everyone with their pet on it, with the person, the recipient's pets on it. And I think that that is an amazing idea because...
I'm not nuts. It's so good. Thank you. I was thinking, okay, cookies and wonderful. Denise,
okay. Well, I mean, I'm a dog owner, and anything that you put my dog on is going to be kept around. So I'm the same way where I think it's a super cute idea, and people we have talked about, this is down the line. Not something where, due to this year almost being a wash in normal, regularly scheduled programming. Next year, maybe we're definitely talking about different offerings of like one side of cookies. And one of the things that we've really wanted to do is do like a dog gift box and do something where it's dog themed on the front. And maybe it's like the human cookies and the dog cookies, because we've made dog cookies for events locally. So it's like, maybe we'll do human cookies and dog cookies in a treat or something. But it's, anybody that's a pet owner, we all know how passionate we get about it. So I think that's a great idea.
And see, I would get something for my salon, Salon de Chien, which is where my dogs go for grooming. And I would get something for my vet. I mean, that's a terrific idea. I love it. Do it. Let me know when it's ready.
Yes, I will, for sure.
Okay, so Chelsea, we are just going all over the place, but you're giving me so much terrific information on how a hobby can become a really thriving business. How you do the research is phenomenal, because you do have to stay on top of things. And you're in an industry where if you're not on top of it and people are not getting or receiving the gift that they really thought they were getting, you can die very quickly. I mean, your business can just go meh, and it won't take long, because these days, honestly, if people have something nasty to say, they have no trouble saying it. They seem to forget, though, is having something really terrific to say. So I would encourage our audience here, if you've received a gift and you are really appreciative of it, make noise. Make a big noise. Go on Facebook, go on Twitter and say thank you and why you're saying thank you. Don't just go, "Ooh, that's pretty cool. Thank you. It was yummy." And then go about your business. Say something good. So let's talk. We talked a bit about direct mail, because I'm not sure we covered that properly. You had told me in our pre-interview that direct mail is the new, basically old email marketing. I've never paid much attention to direct mail. I've always considered it mailbox spam, like the real mailbox, the one down by the road. So let's talk about that a bit.
For sure. Yeah, absolutely. So two things really quick before I jump into that. I do want to say I appreciate you so much for saying, if you receive a gift, to say something. I know that that sounds so obvious, but
I know
I'm almost embarrassed to say this. We get so many calls, even though they have tracking information, of people saying, "I don't think my recipient got their gift," and it's because they don't say thank you after. And I know that sounds ridiculous, because at first we kind of made a joke. We're like, "Well, you need to get not to the client, but we're like, maybe you need to get better friends if they're not saying thank you." But it has been such a trend over the years. It has been so common that was not a fluke one time. I think people forget to say thank you. And I don't know if that's just that we're busy or what's going on, but there's a person on the other side that sent it that just wants to make sure you got it, but also that you liked it, or, we do try to do what we can in the way of that. We actually have started to include a insert into our gifts that says, "Hey, tell the recipient of your cookies or of your gift that thank you." And there's a little instruction thing that you can just text a code. And if you text a code, it allows you to either just record a voice memo and say, "Hey, thanks so much for the cookies," or record a video if you want to like show the actual box. And it sends it right over to the person that sent you the gift. And it kind of closes the loop of, "Hey, I received it. This is amazing." And because that person does want to feel like they made you happy, you know, so it's nice to kind of close the loop on that. So I do appreciate you bringing that up because we have noticed that that is actually a common thing.
That is so sad. It's like as a society, we're losing our manners. Look, when I was a kid.
I'm hoping that we're just busy, but it's, go ahead.
No, we're losing our manners. When I was a kid, when you were a kid, if we got something from Santa or the Tooth Fairy or Aunt Ruth, we did not leave the house until we sat down and wrote thank you notes, period.
Mm-hmm.
We did not.
Yeah,
we either handed them over or we mailed them or we delivered them, but we had to say thank you. And it wasn't so much that we had to say thank you. We were taught to say thank you. And what happened?
Right. I think, you know, and I think I totally agree. I think something happened with this is, you know, my very scientific hypothesis, but I think something happened with, you know, with technology, we all became kind of short-sighted with our attention in regards to just everything's a text now, everything's, you know, very quick. And then at some point, I think that also just faded away. Like, you know, calls became text further apart. Became, okay, now I'm just going to say happy birthday when Facebook tells me it's your birthday. You know, I think all of that, it's made us just shorter with our communication. I don't think anybody receives a gift and at the time isn't appreciative of it unless it's offensive, but I don't think they're not appreciative of it, but something happens right there where then all of a sudden their brain is on to the next thing. And they forget to even send a text that says thank you. So then the sender is like, I don't know if you're like me at all, but sometimes when I find a really good gift, I'm pumped about I'm like excited. One, it's hard for me not to give it to them early. But then two, if I do manage to wait, I am waiting that day. Like they're going to get it. You know, I just need to hear what their reaction is. And maybe that's a little bit self-serving on my end, but in my head, it's just that I'm so excited. And if I don't hear anything, I'm like, now I have to do the awkward, like, did you get the thing I sent you? So it is it's kind of just a strange place that we've gotten to. So it really does, it sounds so obvious, but when you think about it, you get caught up in the rest of the day and you forget that you've said thank you. And it really does mean a lot to the person that sent it, especially if they are really excited because they did go find something new that has a personalization to it versus the gift basket type of thing. You know, they're waiting to see what your reaction is. And then
I did the same thing recently. I mean, I had, and I was really embarrassed by it, but a friend of mine, she's a colleague and she's also been my podcast guest. She's going to be coming back on again soon. And she authored a second or third book and I already had the book. I had bought it on Amazon when it was first launched, and then the physical book landed on my doorstep, and it was, you know, there was a nice little note in it, and I had every intention of picking up the phone and calling her, and I didn't. I got busy. Then I got the email, like, Denise, did you get my book? Because, oh my God, I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. Meredith, I'm still sorry. I picked up the phone and called her. but yeah, we all do it, but it shouldn't be something that we just do by rote, you know, that we just forget. Oh, that's nice. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I mean, we should always be grateful for people taking the time and the energy to find a gift or to write in a book and send it to us. Or, you know, in the case of what you guys are doing, find the logo, find the house, find the picture of the cat or dog. That takes a lot of thought and compassion. And when you don't get a thank you, that would be heartbreaking to me.
Yeah. And, you know, to your point, like we are all still human. Hiccups still happen no matter what. So it's about making it a fluke or, you know, out of the norm to not say thank you rather than the norm. So I think it's just a matter of putting that back into practice. But of course, we're all still human. So every once in a while, it's going to slip through the cracks. But I do think, to your point, you know, a gift is something that does, it's this real tangible thing. And I think if somebody takes the time, you know, it's like you said, to write a note in that book. I think in your case, part of the reason that slipped through the cracks is you had already gotten it. I think if that was the very first experience you had had with the book, and she wrote in it, I think it might have stopped you for a little bit longer, only because it's like your first impression. You'd already gotten it in a way, you'd already received it. So it wasn't that it wasn't still valuable to you. And I think to that point, though, that
you've been very kind. Thank you.
For the most part, I think like a gift, it's the first experience you have with it. So in yours, it's kind of an interesting situation. But I think for most people, if you receive something that, and this kind of goes back to the email marketing thing, all right? So email marketing right now, I'm not sure. You seem like a very highly organized person. So I'm not sure if this is the case for you or not. But I know with me and my typical personal inbox, there are days where I'm like, am I going to commit to 2 hours of unsubscribing to all of this or not? Or am I going to let it sit? And because every day that I open my inbox, there's 30 new emails, and they're from places I've shopped for or business emails of prospecting, but it's like, how can I get your attention? Right. And before that was regular mail. And I think that's to your point when you, became mailbox clutter or mailbox, whatever you called it, but it's before email was, it was just before email, it was the regular mail, right? And that's how we ended up getting hit with so many promotional things that we say, oh, this is like, you know, junk mail, right? It's the coupons from those catalog books, or there's these mini catalogs of places we've shopped before, and it just becomes this handful of junk that you throw out and don't even look through every day. And then eventually we moved into the email world, you know, in the last 25 years or something, but we moved into the email world where it doesn't cost, other than manpower and maybe a little bit of technology, depending on where you're at with software, it doesn't cost you too much to actually send email marketing. So why wouldn't you? Why would you not be employing that as part of your marketing strategy? But to that point, so is everyone else. So if everybody out there is all trying to hit your email inbox for the same reason every morning at the same time, just to tell you, you know, hey, click on this so that we hope that you'll get inside, you know, we just need to get your attention for a second, right? And we all have seen so many of these that we know the tricks. We know the buzzwords. We know the emojis. We know that sometimes people will like make their email subject line mimic that they just responded to your email to try to trick you into answering that. You know, we've seen them all. So we know all of that. So what happens is our eyes kind of glaze over this, and we quickly click through them and delete. But when you're prospecting, or you work in an industry where for software, for example, you know, all they're trying to do is find new eligible clients that would need their software solution. So how do they get your attention through all this noise when you are like on autopilot for deleting all these marketing emails? You know, that, well, I think part of that is going back to the basics of let's get something tangible in their hands.
Let's actually connect.
Right. And it's the same as, remember, I feel like it was several years ago, but it's become a common thing now where if you interview with someone or for somebody, they always suggest to write a follow-up actual letter in the mail and mail it. A follow-up email is great. It was great to meet you. It's, you know, that is definitely not going to be received, you know, poorly, but when you get this handwritten card in the mail the next day, there's something that sets you apart from the others. You know, you took that time. This obviously means enough to you that you took the time to do that, and you felt good enough about this connection that we just had and the role that you actually even wrote a follow-up. And I think that carries a lot of meaning. And the same with direct mail as a gift in the prospecting or sales world. Whether that is before the meeting and you're just really trying to connect with the person, and it's a very low pressure situation where you're giving them cookies and saying, hey, you know, I hope this just makes your day. I'd love to connect soon. Something very, very low pressure, nothing, you know, too intense, I think people are a little bit more inclined to connect with you and hear what you have to say, because you obviously seem committed to it and wanting to actually make the connection. But if that's how your interpersonal skills are, then those seem like the type of people I'd like to do business with. They're putting in this kind of effort, connect with me. What kind of effort are they going to put in when this is actually a relationship and I'm a paying customer and, you know, they're providing service to me? So I think that it really sets the groundwork and the tone for how you do business. And it also really does help you get that person's undivided attention for, you know, even if that's 45 seconds of them saying, what is this or who is this from? It's a lot longer than an email subject line in an inbox that may never be opened. So I think that's kind of why we've gone a little bit full circle in the last several years, is as to employing direct mail more as a way to offset the email marketing.
I was kind of chuckling a bit while you were talking about email marketing. One of my recent guests was Gary Turk. Now, if you don't know who he is, you sure know what he's done. He's the father of spam. He sent the first spam email. Fascinating conversation.
Yeah.
And I get emails from him every day. He's always, because he loves to stay on top of everything, and he will send me things. I'm like, oh my God, I didn't know that. I mean, he's become like my mentor. It's like, you never know who you're going to meet, you know, on the radio. I'm telling you, I cannot believe this. I mean, this 60 minutes has just flown by. So thank you. I mean, it has been really fascinating speaking with you. And I thank you for sharing the story, the hobby, the, you know, all the things that you have done to make this business happen. And the things, I think more importantly, how you're really making sure that you do connect as a business with your clients, with the people who would be engaging with you for gifting, and making sure that they're getting everything that they need. I mean, just the fact that you've recognized that people aren't saying thank you, that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I thank you so much for having me. I mean, I feel like we could have talked about this for 2 hours, because I found myself not even taking a breath, and I still somehow am like, wow, this has flown by. But it's been really great to talk to you, and I appreciate you having me on. I love getting to kind of explore these topics with people who, especially people that are a little bit removed from the gifting industry as a business, because it is nice to hear your thoughts and your reactions, because that's what helps drive us as we grow as a business, and figuring out what people like, what, you know, maybe opportunities that they see for us that we can help fulfill for them that isn't out there. And so it's always nice to, you know, hear somebody else's input too.
Thank you so much. Listen, before I let you go, where can people find you? Where can they find NOMS? Everybody,
sure.
Go order NOMS.
So, of course, our website is getnoms.com. So, like, you give NOMS and you get NOMS. So, it's G-E-T, N as in Nancy, O, M as in Mary, S.com. And you can find us on Facebook under our full name, NOMS Bake Shop. And then on Instagram, we're at GetNoms as well. And you can message us on any of those platforms. On our website, you can literally upload your logo and order gifts. But you can also just reach out to us and say, hey, I have an idea. Could you maybe show me what this would look like on a box? Or can you help me bring this design to life? And we're available. So you can message us anywhere that you find us, and we'll be happy to help.
Thank you so much. Listen, Chelsea, it's been wonderful speaking with you, and I thank you for all of the wonderful tips and advice and the terrific story and the cookies and the box. I love that box. So can anybody tell? I really love this box. So before we say goodbye, I would like to remind our audience to be sure to look for us in iTunes, Stitcher, and Amazon Prime, believe it or not, and anywhere else you consume your business podcasts. Just look for your partner in Success Radio and take us along on your success journey. Chelsea, thank you.
Get your voice heard. If you would like to launch your own far-reaching podcast, contact Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com and go to the podcast tab.